comics,
movies,
music,
video games,
technology,
Blu-ray,
television.
This is the HHW LOD Podcast Network.
This is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hello.
Out Now is a film podcast that has Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. And normally, we discuss those new movies weekly, along with lots of other familiar segments. But because this is another week where we didn't really want to cover any of the new releases, because the only thing that came out was Resident Evil, whatever it's... Retribution, I think?
I think so, yeah.
I don't care enough. we decided, Finding Nemo 3D, we didn't want to really do a show on Finding Nemo, despite the fact that we do love Finding Nemo, correct, Abe?
Yeah, and Pixar films in general.
Yeah, so, we you getting them to sponsor our show, was that what that was?
Yeah, and Coke and Pepsi, one or the other.
But, so we decided, with, Indiana Jones is coming out on Blu-ray this coming week, or actually probably the day that this podcast is released, so we figured, why not have, like, a whole Indiana Jones discussion. Why don't we just go over all of those movies, because we like a good majority of them a lot. So we figured, yeah, let's do that as another bonus episode and just talk about all the Indiana Jones movies. So that's what we're going to do. This is a special bonus episode. We're going to talk about every single Indiana Jones movies. This will obviously be spoiler heavy because they're, you know, they're old movies. And if anyone hadn't seen Crystal Skull by now, sorry. But that could be taken many ways, I guess. But yeah, that's what we're going to do, and joining us to discuss the Indiana Jones movies, we have our newest guest, the man who has safely passed all three tests regarding the Holy Grail, Greg Knox.
Hello, hello. Good to be here.
Hey, Greg.
Howdy.
And, yeah, so, that's basically the plan. No real announcements. iTunes reviews and ratings, always good to get those, helps out the show, what have you. And, yeah, so before we get into the movies, we're going to do our Know Everybody segment, because we like doing Know Everybody, and we figure we'll just make it a special indie-ish Know Everybody. And, you know, this is the segment, of course, where we ask each other some questions to kind of set the tone for the podcast and better get to know everybody. So, with that said, I'm going to start. Abe, Indiana Jones is, of course, known for his hat and his whip. What is your iconic garb?
My iconic garb? That's a good question. You know,
what's Abe? What says Abe?
Nobody will deny this. A white t-shirt and jeans.
Boom.
Boom.
Music starts playing right there. It's just the silhouette of a man putting on his white t-shirt and jeans. And the
yeah.
It's like, ba-da-da-boom, ba-da-boom. I had to make it a theme. That's what it was, barely. Ba-da-da-boom, ba-da-boom. See, I didn't forget it. That's how iconic it is. That's how you know it's catchy.
Yeah. It's very catchy, yeah. It's one of the catchiest themes ever. Alright, Greg.
Yep.
What would you most likely want to see next? Indiana Jones and the Last McDouble, with the main villain being the Hamburglar? Or Indiana Jones and the Last Artifact, where Dr. Grant from Jurassic Park is the main villain, and they search for a missing T-Rex bone?
Last McDouble, because I think the Hamburglar already kind of looks like a Nazi. You just throw the little red badge on his arm, and he'll fit right in.
And plus, the true menace of this movie would be the Grimace, because nothing can stop the Grimace.
Oh, man. He's like the one hiding behind the table. Yeah,
exactly.
Just the face of God.
Yeah. Don't look at it. Close your eyes.
All right. Greg, your go.
Okay, Aaron.
Yeah.
At what point do you find Indiana Jones sexiest? Is it young Indiana Jones? Professor Indiana Jones? The white suit wearing Bond-esque Indiana Jones at the beginning of Temple of Doom, or just good old dusty tomb raiding Indiana Jones?
Oh, it's clearly Professor Indiana Jones. Have you seen his students? Everyone in the front row is completely screwing Indiana Jones in that movie.
They're just swooning. Yeah.
They're not just swooning. No, that his office hours is just full of hot sex. Like, he's screwing every single student in that classroom. The guys,
everyone's earning their grade in that class.
The one girl who's like, I say love you on them. Another girl wrote them on her eyes, and he had a threesome with both of them. That's like Indiana Jones.
That is the fan fiction that I read.
You didn't read that book? You didn't read that?
I didn't read that graphic novel.
Professor Indiana Jones Office Hours? You didn't read that book?
Well done.
Okay. Throwing it back at you, Greg.
All right.
What's a new item that Indy should explore?
So, what should he explore? You could go Atlantis. I'd see that.
I mean, we played the amazing video game. I'd only imagine that Atlantis would be a sweet place to go.
Yeah. Just hold 2 hours of him like in a submarine. I think be really entertaining. You know, nice claustrophobic. A lot of talking, a lot of silence.
You could bring Connery back, and it'd be the 100th of October.
Exactly.
Or K-19, the little bit. You see, it's all done. It's half written, really. It's already there.
So, Abe.
Yes.
You own a sandwich shop? Got a sandwich called the Indiana Jones? What's on that sandwich?
I like this question.
That's a great question. Pastrami? Butter?
What?
Sand?
Hey, what's the bread?
The bread is a rye.
I was going to say rye.
I was thinking rye.
Jewish rye. And last of all, you have to have like some soy sauce on the side.
Wow.
That's a racist sandwich.
That sounds terrible. Is it like a French dip soy sauce?
You have the au jus sauce by request. This is a weird sandwich. I don't like this sandwich.
Yeah, why'd you put sand in it? What the fuck?
He's an archaeologist.
They specialize in novelty sandwiches.
Like, give him like hummus or something. Like sand.
We'll place the sand with, yes, some kind of spicy hummus.
Hummus and pastrami? That sounds amazing.
God, this is an awful sandwich.
Crusty rye with soy sauce.
And au jus on the side.
That's one of his sex moves, the crusty rye with soy sauce.
All the professors love that.
Part-time.
Yeah. All right, Aaron. Better sidekick. Chewbacca, short round.
Chewbacca, clearly to be. I mean, short round's fun and all, but he cheats at cards. And
that's the knock.
But Chewbacca cheats at chess.
He doesn't cheat at chess. He just pulls off the arms of the people that beat him. Yeah. There's a shocking difference between those two things.
And I guess Chewbacca knows how to use like a laser gun.
He's good in a fight, and you know he can fix the hover. He can fix the hyperdrive and what have you.
He's also like 7 feet tall.
Yeah. What's short round giving you? Third degree burns? I mean, honestly, what Owens you bringing to the table?
He loves you though.
All right. I think that's everybody.
Yeah,
that's how you play. Know everybody. All right, so let's move on to Indiana Jones. Before we get to the first movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, we're going to go chronologically by when they were made and not, you know, when they take place, I guess. So Temple of Doom will come second. But for all those indie just looking dead into us and being like, which order are you going in, guys? We're stick with Raiders first. But before we get to that, do we like this series in general? I imagine the idea is yes, since we decided. But, you know, thoughts on the series in general, like when have you last seen them, I guess, or...
I mean, prior to this weekend?
Yeah, okay, we could all say that we've all seen them very recently. We all saw them this past week. I could say that I saw them actually in the marathon, all four of them back to back to back to back yesterday, which was exhaustingly fun. But, yeah, general thoughts, I guess, before we get underway.
Been a big fan since I was a little kid. My dad had a really nice fedora hat that I'd wear, and somehow my parents gave me a whip when I was probably about 8. Don't know why. Either Indiana Jones or S&M, and used to play Indiana Jones Ghostbusters with my best friend, so we'd watch all the movies, and Temple of Doom was the only exception. That one I only just watched recently because it has the heart getting torn out scene, and my parents wouldn't allow me to watch it, so that one has a little less nostalgia for me, but everything else I'm a pretty big fan of the whole series, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna say basically. I remember my oldest brother. He would come back from college, and he just had these tapes, and he had Temple of Doom, and Temple of Doom was the first one that I saw. Probably the one I've seen the most. Now that I'm older, I've seen all of them, and probably not the one that I would say is the best. I definitely like Raiders of the Lost Ark a lot. I think that's very much quintessential Jones.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, but yeah. So I haven't seen them in a while, actually. I saw them again recently for this podcast, but I still enjoy them. I find them to be very engrossing, as to, like, you know, take your mind to a different place kind of thing.
And yeah, I'm in the same boat. You know, I love the series, especially the first three. And actually, I think I've also seen Temple of Doom the most out of them, even though it's not my favorite of the films, but it's just, yeah, calling back on the VHS memories, that's kind of where I land too. It's just, I used to watch these on tape all the time. That out of the way, let's get into it. And I guess, listeners, keep in mind, we may have other guests joining us in this podcast. We'll see. So just in case you're, like, surprised by, like, what? This person's also talking about Indiana Jones? Why am I reacting this way to that? He's not special. He's just some guy on this show. But
it sounded exactly like that, too.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how I imagine most of our listeners sound. Joe Jans, right? That's how you sound when you listen to the show. I'll shout out a listener. That's how I roll. There you go. Shout out to one listener. Okay. So let's get to the first movie. Let's get into Raiders of the Lost Ark.
The Bible speaks of the Ark leveling mountains and laying waste to entire regions. Not something to be taken lightly. No one knows its secrets.
Jones, do you realize what the Ark is? It's a transmitter. It's a radio for speaking to God.
An army which carries the Ark before it is invincible.
The Ark. It is their Atanis. And it is something that man was not meant to disturb.
It is protected by forces beyond imagination. It is desired above all treasures on Earth by those who are good. Trust me. And those who are evil.
I tell you everything.
Yes, I know you will.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
All right, so that should have been some of the trailer for Raiders of the Lost Ark, the 1981 debut of Indiana Jones, of course directed by Steven Spielberg. The film stars Harrison Ford as the Indiana Jones character, and he is in search of the Lost Ark. I am going to talk like this for some reason.
you damn robot.
Indiana Jones is, of course, a famed archaeologist, and he's been tasked with going on a little expedition to find the Ark of the Covenant. The Nazis, Hitler, is obsessed with the occult, and he's, you know, bent on finding all sorts of mystic artifacts from the past and what have you, and so Indiana Jones is now also on the trail of hoping to find the lost Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments at one time and may bring unspeakable power to whoever finds it. Lots of archaeological hijinks ensue. I'll just start out. This is my favorite of the series, and it's
agreed.
It's an easy choice for me too. I mean, I love Last Crusade, which we'll get to, but Raiders of the Lost Ark does. It's a movie that does everything I want an adventure movie to be. Like, it's very close to a perfect movie for me. Like, everything about it, there's nothing I dislike about the movie, honestly. I mean, it's super fun to watch always. It flies by. It has just awesome moment after moment after moment. Everything about it's iconic. It's just like an ultimate adventure film.
I basically echo everything of that sentiment, and I think that there's some wonderful stuff that is set up for Indiana Jones as to him not just being like a very intelligent professor, as I think the other two don't really touch upon as much. Maybe even the fourth one doesn't really touch upon as much, but he's just brilliant. And also, he's a really badass, like, archaeologist in the field. One of those things where I really enjoyed a lot. I enjoyed that it's not so heavy on the jokes and not so heavy on the womanizing. It's really heavy on him really wanting to discover things and find things out for the sake of not really truth, but for fact, I guess, as he writes on the board. So, yeah, I enjoyed this one a lot out of the three, I guess four, even though I haven't seen it as much as Temple of Doom.
Raiders is probably my favorite movie. I think I saw Temple of, or not Temple of Doom, Last Crusade first, which for a while it made it my favorite, but they're kind of the same movie. They hit a lot of the same beats, but like when you appreciate that Raiders of the Lost Ark did it first, that's definitely the front runner. And yeah, kind of like what you said, Aaron, it's one of those movies I can walk away from with no complaints, and that's kind of a rare thing.
Yeah, it it does everything so well. It just like, I mean, first off, you have this great setup. Like you, like the movie, it begins and you're just already in like some mission. You're on some random thing, and you just get into this like crazy booby-trapped environment where, okay, honest, before I'm just gonna pause there. How does this light trap work with the sunlight? You're inside the thing. Him and Dr. Octopus are walking through the tunnel. Alfred Molina are walking
Alfred Molina,
through,
yeah.
And he's like, and he's like, hold on. He puts his hand in the light and spikes shoot out. How does that work?
They had fiber optics back then.
What is the technology involved in that culture to make that trap work? I love it. It's like, how good on you.
You know how good that movie is? I didn't even think about that. That's how good it is. And I didn't think about how hard that would be.
That would be to set up. How hard it would be to break a beam of light and make spears come at you. And then Alfred Molina is even better when they get to like the very end of the thing, and he's like, "No trouble to worry about here." And we're like, "Let's just walk over." Not like there's been horrible things awaiting us so far. But yeah, I mean, the cold open's so cool, and all that stuff happens. A giant boulder chases after a Yarkia. It's like it's such a pulpy adventure movie. It's so like into it. You just get into it from the get go. It's awesome.
Yeah, and again, like you got to give credit to John Williams too. The score is fantastic. I think in the history of scores, it's probably one of the ones that everyone probably remembers them on par with, I guess, with some really good ones as well. Jaws and
Star
maybe
Wars,
some,
you know, other
Star Wars. But yeah, I mean, essentially, I was really into that cold open too, and it really sets up this really nice world of being out there and not really being on a set per se. You kind of get lost in the whole entire idea of Indiana Jones and just being on this adventure with him. So I really enjoyed that about these movies a lot. Again, I find them really engrossing, and I find that to be really spectacular. I think that that's a great effect that they have on viewers such as myself.
Yeah, the action in it is like one of my favorite things, because it's not huge, and that sounds ridiculous because there's a giant boulder rolling after him, but like everything, the fist fights, like people chasing him, it just seems like it's nice and tight. It's really focused, and I mean, it really draws me into it, and, you know, it gets you really rooting for him. It gets you, like, I don't know, I feel like everything he does is believable, even though it really isn't, you know? A lot of it is, like, I mean, he doesn't do anything that makes him an action star. He's just a really lucky bastard, which makes it really entertaining.
Like, well, he has the line where he's like, yeah, I'm just making it up as I go along. Like, he's not setting out to be, like...
It's like a recurring theme.
Yeah, he's rolling with it and doing his best he can. And there's a rough and tumble quality to Raiders, especially. I mean, all of them, or at least the first three, really. But like Raiders, like it feels like he's like going through pain throughout these movies. Like the truck chase, which is like one of just, like if I need like top five action sequences, like the truck chase in that movie is like always going to be one of my top ones of him. Going on the horse onto the truck, he gets in the truck, climbs up to the driver's seat, he's getting all these guys. It's just all these things that happen. Then he's, you know, under the truck, and it's like all this stuff is awesome in this movie. Like, it's amazing.
And to get back to John Williams on that, John Williams can score a chase scene, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. Good. But but about the violence in this film too. I mean, it's not ultra violent, but there are some somewhat graphic moments, and I think that. The whole entire film is rated PG-13, which is fantastic. Again, it's not one of those films that can really take you out of it with spikes going through a dull Alfred Molina or something like that, or some dude actually getting run over by the truck. And it's not really doesn't really take you out of it, and I think that that's really appreciated.
Speaking of taking you out of it, is that Jordan Grout on the line?
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Doing well. Jordan, we're talking about Raiders of the Lost Ark right now. And we have our new guest, Greg Knox, with us, if you want to. Jordan, Greg, Jordan.
Howdy.
How's it going, Greg?
Going good.
Jordan, your thoughts on Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Well, it's no Resident Evil Retribution, but it's an okay movie. No, it's a classic. I mean, come on. Who doesn't like it? Am I right? You saw it recently, didn't you, Aaron?
Raiders? Yes. I saw the whole marathon yesterday of all of them. So.
Yeah, see, I haven't seen actually any of the Indiana Jones films for about 9 years. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So my memory is a bit fuzzy, but I know it's a great film.
That's I like that qualification.
Trust me when I say they're great. And Ollie, like, there are only a couple, like, sequences from the movie that I actually remember. Like, as a whole, it's kind of fuzzy. Like, I know bits and pieces here and there. So I'm really looking forward to rewatching them.
Karen Allen in this movie as Marius.
I was gonna bring that up, yeah.
She has a case of adorable freckles, but besides that, she's also just like really useful in this movie. Like she's especially because you get to Temple of Doom where Steven Spielberg's literally setting women back like 20 years. Raiders of the Lost Ark, like Karen, like Marius' character is so like fun to be with. She's such she has like this great spunky attitude. It's just really cool.
Hello, Marius.
Indiana Jones. Always knew someday you'd come walking back through my door. I never doubted that. Something made it inevitable. So what are you doing here in Nepal?
I need one of the pieces your father collected.
I learned to hate you in the last 10 years.
And the scene with the hanger is amazing.
Yes,
yes.
I was like, wow, that's a really menacing tool that they're going to be tortured with. And I was like, oh, it's a hanger. But I definitely agree with you on the Karen Allen and also the female lead in this film. It's just, you know, I like that she wasn't just a down and out, you know, part two of help me, I'm a woman in distress, save me kind of thing. Where she was, you know, she's the daughter of an archaeologist, prominent archaeologist that Indiana Jones respects. And she's got a lot of fire and grit.
And let's not forget Alfred Molina.
Yeah, we were talking about Doc Ock earlier and his pivotal role as guy who betrays Indy at the worst possible time and then forgets about the light trap that he played earlier.
And just the ending. It's one of, if not the best, endings for an action film of all time.
A giant Deus Ex Machina. more about the ending because it's on my mind now. That ending of that movie is wacky when you think about they're in some island that like is Nazi occupied, I assume, but all the I guess most of the Nazis let me piece this together. So all the Nazis do all the Nazis leave their secret like Nazi cave with the submarines in it and go and follow Belloc to see what the Ark looks like? Are we supposed to assume that's every Nazi that was on that island?
Possibly.
It would suck if you were told you couldn't go see the Ark of the Covenant.
I guess so, right? Yeah, that's what
you'd sneak out. You'd find a way.
So they probably all went. So Marion and Indy are trapped up. They're like stuck on this pole. Their ropes were cut though. All the Nazis are gone. The Ark of the Covenant's like there. So now they have to take this giant Ark of the Covenant. They got to walk it like who knows how many miles back to the cave with the submarines in it. Presumably all the Nazis are gone, so now they have to figure out how to start up a submarine so they have to load up an Ark of the Covenant in the submarine and then like sail back somewhere, and then they have to get all the way to D's. They have to get through customs, right? Because you can't just travel with an Ark of the Covenant and not like go through customs. And then they get shipped it to DC somehow, all this stuff out, right? It's this amazing cut. It's like a King Kong cut where suddenly King Kong's in New York. You didn't really see the boat trip back because why not? That's the greatest cut in like motion picture history. That one's amazing because that kind of threw me where I'm like, suddenly they're in DC again. There's no explanation as to how they pulled this off, but they did it.
Or they could have just called in like, you know, the U.S. Secret Service, and the U.S. was like, all right, yeah, we'll get it for you guys. Just take the next plane back to DC here.
Yeah, but Abe, that's no fun. Compared to Marion and Indy like walking 10 miles with an Ark of the Covenant in their hands, right?
I definitely love the customs thing.
The customs, like, yeah, I mean, it's not easy to move around Arks of the Covenant.
Well, it's not fruit, so I think we're okay.
Speaking of fruit, bad dates. Sala in this movie—that's how I segue.
That's incredible.
Sala.
Good old Gimli.
John Rhys-Davies and his axe—they're in this movie. And this is, of course, the key Sala that we like, opposed to Well, not opposed to, because he's still solo in The Last Crusade, but he's not bumbling around like he is in The Last Crusade. This movie, he's kicking ass. Like, he's got a really successful digging company, he's got all his men working, they're probably getting paid, he's helping out his buddy Indy, right? It's like, he's just a really fun guy.
One of the best sidekicks in action movies, I think. Other action movies, he would have betrayed him in the end, kind of thing, but he stays true the whole time, through two movies.
Yeah, he saves really Indy from bad dates. I mean,
it's a lot better than Ray
that
Winston.
Evil Nazi monkey dies instead.
But my monkey. When I was watching the movie, my friend next to me was like, "Oh, with the monkey dad." I'm like, "He was a Nazi monkey."
He salutes.
Yeah, he gives Heil Hitler sign. He was a Nazi monkey.
Pure evil.
He deserved to die a horrible death. Monkey.
One of the things I also like about this movie is just some of the shots that they have. Where I remember the part where they're very iconic, but also just very, really memorable. It's just when they're digging where the real site is, and the sun is just setting, and you can see like how hot it is, and Indy just puts on his hat. It's really well done, you know. The cinematography is excellent. The direction is excellent. It also reminds me a lot of, I mean, I guess that Steven Spielberg also directed the Tintin movie, so obviously a lot of stuff reminds me of Indiana Jones and Tintin when they're combined. Especially considering that they're kind of in the same time period. So, you know, I love that about this first Indiana Jones movie. It's just, it really sets up a really good storyline and something that can continue. So, yeah, good on them.
And that's how he got into Tintin when he made Raiders of the Lost Ark. There was like a critic telling him that he ripped off Tintin by doing this movie and he never heard of it before. And then he started reading Tintin. He got really obsessed with that comic.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So how long had it been since you had seen the film prior to the theaters?
I watch them a lot.
Okay.
I mean, it might have been maybe 2 years at most, but I watch them. I watch those movies a lot.
Okay.
They don't get old to me. That's another thing about Raider. Like, it flies by. Like, that movie was done quickly when I was watching. It was like, this is just out of the way. Done. It's awesome. It's nonstop fun.
So was there anything seeing it on the big screen that you hadn't noticed before or...
Not so much didn't notice, but Raiders, I mean, it just, because these were all, watching on the big screen, they were all the remastered versions that were made for the Blu-ray, and it certainly looks very clean. It's a really good-looking movie, for sure. Like, they did a good job with the transfers. I would say Temple of Doom is probably the worst-looking of them, just because of all the kind of the rear projection and the matte paintings that are used in that movie. So, you know, you're looking at a very clean image versus...
Yeah.
Suddenly you have backgrounds that aren't there with actors in front of them, so it's like it's very noticeable.
Yeah.
But and Raiders doesn't do that as much. Like, there's not so much of that. There's not a lot of that going on. Like, the key scene where that's going on is when they're digging up the Well of Souls, and you see kind of the backgrounds is the lightning and thunder striking and stuff, and Indy's head's popping in the way, and you're like, yeah, that's their the little rear projection going on.
Yeah, you can see some of that stuff. Yeah.
And it's not
as prominent as like sledding down a mountain on a life raft. Yeah. And looking kind of pretty obvious.
Yeah, but I mean, again, these aren't like problems I have. I mean, that's just the movies itself. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, it's just kind of the look of a Indiana Jones movie. I mean, you're expecting that almost.
Which is an issue I have with the Crystal of the Kingdom Skull, but I will get to that later. I mean, it looked great, and I'll get to... Last Crusade was the best looking of the four, actually, I will say, but... we'll get to that later. Yeah, it looked very good, and I'm looking forward to owning these Blu-rays so I can, you know, continue to watch them in that format, because they're great. They're well-made movies, and they do, I mean, Spielberg did a good job of, like, I'm gonna make this look good on Blu-ray. He did that really well, just like he did with Jaws. So.
Jurassic Park as well.
Jurassic Park also looks great. And Jurassic Park sounds amazing. Like, that's the sound on that Blu-ray is phenomenal. As was Raiders, for that. As was all of them, actually, for that matter. Like,
Oh, did we mention Paul Freeman in Raiders?
Oh, yeah, as Rene Belloc. Beloche.
Bobby Jones' stroke of genius is Paul Freeman.
Hot Fuzz is Paul Freeman. Yeah, he's in Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, he is.
I didn't know he was in Hot Fuzz.
He's the priest.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
But he's a good villain. He's what I enjoy about his performance as Belloc is he represents basically... Dark Indy or Nega Indy, like it's
Nega Indy.
It's the
he's a Kuma,
yeah, exactly.
Bizarro Indy.
He's very much the same kind of person. He's just gone about doing things the unorthodox way, or the way the the moral path that leads to bad things, as opposed to Indy's representing of good and all that's clean. And
isn't that also mentioned, like, when he says, like, you know, I'm just your shadow reflection?
It does. It's that it's that great scene where Indy, he thinks it's Marion's died, and it, I mean, the direction's great in this movie. I love the close-ups in this movie. Like, the first...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm, like, diverging because I get excited about it, but, like, the first shot of Indiana Jones's face is, like, right after he whips the gun's hand out of the guy, and then he just, Harrison Ford turns and steps into frame, and it's one of those, like, great shots of his entire face fills the entire screen, and it's just really, like, old-fashioned, pulpy action heroes made his entrance kind of scene. But, so, anyway, there's a great, like, shot again of that where Indy thinks Marion's died, so he's in the bar with Belloc. And, like, Indy's face is filling, like, almost the entire frame again in, like, kind of on a side shot. And Belloc's, like, on the right side of the frame, just, yeah, explaining how me and you aren't so far apart after, like, he's given this whole monologue, this bad guy monologue thing. And it's just really cool. It's just really cool.
And Indy's, like, total profile. He's just looking straight ahead, not at Belloc, right?
Yeah.
It's a good look.
Yeah, but what about Belloc too? Is like, I really enjoyed that he matches wits with Indy because they're both archaeologists and they're both like very smart guys. He's not just like a bad guy for filler. He's a pretty intelligent, competent dude, but he's just on the path of the unrighteous.
For sure, and easily I would say the best villain of the series.
Agreed. Yeah,
of course.
And with all the characters in the movie, you by the end of the film, you really know who each of them are. And they're all well developed, which is a testament to like the flawless writing and directing and the acting. Like all the actors like bring their own layers to each character, and if one of those would have been just a bit weak, the whole film would have fallen apart.
Yeah, I agree with that. Even like Marcus Brody, who's not in this movie that much, but it's funny at the beginning. I don't really think about it, but like at the beginning of the movie, there's literally a scene where Indiana Jones has to like draw on a chalkboard to explain everything that's going on, which is the kind of the sign of like in lesser movies, it would be bad exposition. But in movies like in movies like this or like Back to the Future Part 2, which also has a scene of Doc Brown drawing on the chalkboard to make sure we all
have the universe. God.
And now I have to pause and go, oh, but
that's heavy.
I mean, it works like it works because it's like it feels like it plays into the scene. Whereas Indy's like he has to explain to these guys what the arc is and what's going
exactly,
on.
Exactly. Yeah.
I
really enjoy that.
I don't feel like the movie's slowing down at all. It just feels like I guess you need to set up the story, and this seems like it feels like the most appropriate way to do it, and not just like the easiest way, or not just like the laziest way to do it. It feels like he's got to we gotta get that plot going. We gotta see where it's going.
Yeah, again, he's an intelligent guy outside of the classroom and inside of the classroom, and I just like the way that he can reference these things off the top of his head. He knows all these historical dates and artifacts, and they touch upon that, especially like in the third one as well, when River Phoenix is doing that when he's like 16 or something like that. He already knows the history of Cortez and all the other stuff in Coronado. So it's I really enjoy that aspect about Indiana Jones. He's a smart leading man.
With a satchel. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of forgot how, like, detective-y these movies were. Like, and how much they were more like a Bond movie in a way.
Yeah.
Like, just in his intelligence and having to deduce things. And, he's way more Batman than Superman kind of thing. It's his, like, knowledge of his surroundings that keeps him alive, not, like, brute force, which is neat. Makes him endearing.
And he hates snakes.
That's not a snake, that's just my friend Reggie. Any final thoughts of Raiders of the Lost Ark before we move on to the next in the franchise?
Mm-hmm. No.
All right. Good movie. Okay. Classic.
Yeah, it's okay.
Let's move on. Okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
It did it. okay, so the next film in the series is, of course, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
If adventure has a name, it must be Indiana Jones.
Dr. Jones found Archie for me, and he's going to deliver him now.
Say, who is this, Sir? Archie!
Put the gun away, Sonny.
Scientist.
And what sort of research would you do on me?
Nocturnal activities.
what position I like to sleep in?
Evading customs.
So you're an authority in that area?
Years of field work.
Combat
evil, and to help him, we gave him 5 sacred stones with magical properties.
Magic, fortune, and glory.
I'd sleep closer if I were you. For safety's sake.
Dr. Jones, I'd be safer sleeping with a snake.
I've encountered a lot of people who really hate this film, Temple of Doom. And, you know, I understand where they're coming from. I enjoyed it a lot. It's my least favorite out of all 4 of them. But I still enjoy it.
Out of all 4 of them, going that far, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I do like Crystal Skull a bit more than Temple of Doom, but I'm still a huge fan of it. I think it's just supremely entertaining, and it's a completely different film from the first one. And I think it was a bold move, and it works.
Yeah, let me set it up a little bit for the sake of doing it. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is set a year before Raiders in the chronology of things, and it involves Indiana Jones and his sidekick Short Round and his local lounge singing companion Willie Scott. They've arrived in India through various means and have found a desperate village that has lost their sacred stone, and so they're tasked with a mission to visit the Maharaja's kingdom and find out what's going on. And of course, this leads them into a terrifying temple of doom-like nature, and lots of Willy screaming hijinks ensue. So, now having said that, I Temple of Doom, I would put third in the franchise, but what I like a lot about Temple of Doom is that it is ambitious. It does try to do things decidedly different from Raiders of the Lost Ark. It doesn't just feel like a direct sequel that, you know, does everything that the first one did, but bigger and better. It tries to, it has a different tone. It tries to incorporate a lot of different kind of elements, and some of them work better than others because, you know, it's a darker movie, but it also has a lot of slapstick stuff. So it's, you know, kind of off balance at a lot of points. But it still has a lot of really interesting things in it, and I admire this film because of that. And it's, you know, it has a mine car chase. It's awesome. I mean, what
else do you need? It's the only redeeming part of the movie.
What I like about this movie a lot is, it's kind of goofy in the beginning, and then it kind of gets a bit serious when they go to the village. Yeah, it gets kind of dark when
there's
they
a lot of Willy's figure out. It's pretty stuff. Goofy throughout.
Shorty! Chao Chi! La Tzu Tzangza!
I'm not a huge fan of Willy in the overall film. I think she's really there just as really a lot of humorous.
Mrs. Spielberg, we should say.
Is it? Is that really?
Yeah, Cape Capron, yeah. Mrs. Spielberg.
Oh, no. But I wasn't a huge fan of her in the film. I think that it probably could have done without her as much screaming and just being a woman in distress. But at the same time, I definitely like the relationship between Indy and Short Round. I think that's like a really touching thing. And
speaking of Short and Round, I think Alan Aguilera just joined in the podcast as well.
I am not short.
Alan, what's up?
Hi guys, how are you?
Yeah, Alan, you have some basic thoughts about Temple of Doom?
I liked it. I don't think it gets enough credit for how good of a prequel it is to the Indiana Jones. I dig it. I don't think it's as good as 1 or 3, and we can get into 3 later. But I think it's a fun adventure and kind of goes out there with a lot of the PG ratings. But I like it. I'm a big fan of it.
Rick?
I think it's got to be my least favorite. It's a kind of a tie between that and Crystal Skull. When I was watching through them in order, when I finished Temple of Doom, I was kind of like, wow, that's my least favorite. But then watching Crystal Skull, you know, brought it up, put it in perspective. But it just, I don't know, he just didn't feel like Indy in the movie. Like, the slapstick comedy, like, it was kind of funny, but it wasn't what I wanted out of the movie. And it just, like, the detective part, the investigating part, I never got that in the movie that I got in Raiders. It was just him, like, stumbling upon things all haphazard. And Willie just couldn't stand it. Just too hard to take. Maybe it just aged very poorly, but I don't know.
Do you think it's more Lucas and Spielberg as opposed to the other? I think, like, 1 and 3 are very Spielberg-inspired, and then 2 and 4 are very...
I don't know.
Lucas kind of taking the reins.
Well, I think the short-round Indiana Jones relationship, which is the core thing about that, feels very Spielberg. I think a lot of the slapstick stuff, it feels very much like Spielberg. It's just not great Spielberg.
Yeah.
But, honestly, for as cheesy as a slapstick is, it's still way better than anything Sorkin comes up with.
In terms of slapstick stuff.
Oh, he thinks slapstick is so funny in the newsroom. Sorry.
I had to jump over there, but
although this movie did turn me on to more of a culinary sensibility, where I'm like, oh, I don't mind. I wouldn't mind trying a monkey brain. That'd be
dessert.
I mean, the eyeball stew did look delicious, mainly because I assumed that it was made from the dead children's eyeball. I figured that's why it's probably delicious.
Like, honestly, I don't like food where I know there was a lot of pain involved.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, if I can taste the pain.
So Chinese food?
I love Chinese food. Dude, I love the Kangs, man.
And those bugs.
But speaking of all that stuff, this is the movie that I probably know the most quotes from because it's so goofballish. And I always use Snake Surprise every chance that I get.
the seduction stuff between Willie and Indiana Jones goes on like far too long in this movie. It has that whole like them bickering and then they, you know, like... She'll be back here in 5 minutes, and it's just back and forth, of them sitting on their beds waiting to sex each other up. And it's like, what movie am I watching right now? Like, I don't care about this. I want to see Indiana Jones free slave children and not, you know, try to have sex with Willie, who's just going to shriek annoyingly probably during it. Like, it's just not, like, the movie I want to see right now.
How long is the movie?
It's
2 hours and 6 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, oh, wow.
No, it's just under 2 hours.
Oh, is it?
Crystal Skull's the Crusade's the longest one, I believe. How about that opening? This movie. The chorus line, the big grand opening. I can jump back a bit before Spielberg did Raiders of the Lost Ark. He was lined up to do a Bond movie. He was going to do. He was going to do For Your Eyes Only. He's always wanted to do a Bond movie, and he wasn't going to wait, so he didn't do that. So he did Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then he did E.T. And with Temple of Doom, he was like, you know what? I'm gonna make my own Bond movie thing. So that's why this the opening is the way it is, where it very much feels like a Bond movie. He's in some exotic locale wearing a tuxedo, bartering for something. Like it has that kind of feel to it, while also being, you know, a big Indiana Jones production. And like, it's cool. I like that. I like the cold open in this movie, even though the Asians depicted are having the time of their life, it seems, torturing Indiana Jones with their poison. They are laughing up hysterically throughout the opening segment.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing, Jordan, you had mentioned previously, asked Aaron if there was anything that he noticed differently about them being on the screen. For this one, I actually noticed that the name of the club is called Club Obi-Wan.
You never noticed that before?
Noticed that before, and I was like, oh, that's haha, funny.
I look back on it fondly. I think the last time I watched it was when I bought the DVDs. I know I was planning on having a marathon soon, but I think it's good. I don't think it's the greatest movie ever made. I do like it better than Kingdom, but the one thing that I didn't really like about it was that the reason I love Raiders and the reason I love Last Crusade so much is because it really deals with a lot of the theological elements, like really deals into the Judaism and Christianity and Catholicism, and this one really didn't. Kind of dealt with slaving, you know, freeing slave children. But I didn't really click with the story like I did with the other ones. But I still think it's good. I think I will watch it if it's on TV, or I will go out of my way to watch it again.
I think it gets kind of heavy with the... It's not something as well known, but I mean, it deals with sacred stones and him going through stuff involving Shiva and his dark time. And
the stones right here.
Yeah.
I'm on one today.
I guess yeah, it's not as relatable as something like the Holy Grail or the Ark of the Covenant.
Because I grew up, you know, Catholic, so that stuff is kind of ingrained in me where I'm really interested in that kind of stuff, and I just didn't connect with it like I did the other two. you know, that's it. It's just a personal preference.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
I'm faulting it.
How about that minecart chase?
Shorty, come up here and take the brake. Watch it on the curb, or we'll fly right off the track.
Okay.
Amazing.
It's outstanding. It's what they should make the sequel to, the Disneyland ride.
Yeah, right? That'd be awesome.
Should start making ride sequels.
I don't know, I find it kind of bumpy. You know what? I do know something. It's a technical error, but there's no way you can take a heart out of a person like that. I tried. That chest plate is a motherfucker. Am I going to tell you that?
What I like about that scene is not only does he take the heart out of the guy, which is fine. I mean, he set a spell first, so obviously it works. But he then sends the guy down to the lava pit. Also, conveniently, they've dug in that far in. But the guy goes in with the thing that he's chained onto. But they manage to get that thing back out in one piece. So that's good for them, right? They get to reuse that whole elaborate setup they have for dunking guys into lava pits.
Probably adamantium.
Probably. There you go. Probably adamantium. That's why it is. It's probably adamantium.
Also in this movie, I feel that Dan Aykroyd was seriously underutilized.
Yeah. Right? His... I would have liked to see his adventures of plotting the plane to pick up Indy and using that accent that he had.
Is there a reason it was Dan Aykroyd?
Probably because Spielberg was in Blues Brothers, so he's like...
Yeah, it's a prequel to Blues Brothers. Temple Doom is a prequel to Blues Brothers.
How about that bridge finale?
I like how they're all like, yeah, go ahead, you have nowhere to go. And then, like, all of a sudden they get really scared when he just cuts the rope. They're like, yeah, I guess they can figure it out. Plus the alligators. Pretty menacing.
Pretty menacing.
You know how they're menacing? Because they kept showing them.
It was like the same shot.
It was, yeah, they kind of made sure to cut away to the alligators. Like, oh, yeah, the alligators.
If the fall doesn't kill you.
It's like in that Simpsons episode where Bart Simpson, like, he's running away from Sideshow Bob, and he's on the houseboat.
Yeah.
Like, he runs to one side, there's alligators. He runs to the other side, there's electric eels. And he runs back to the other side, there's alligators again. He's like, oh, yeah. It has a pretty capital scene where Indiana Jones has to press those boobies on the statue in order to get into the secret Temple of Doom area. Which leads also to that crazy spike pit thing, which is an amazing scene with insects and Willie screaming and Short Round touching too many things in an area.
Hey, man, Indy told him to go stand on the wall, and he did what Indy said.
What you said, Indy.
But I mean, yeah, there's the great line of "We are going to die," and I just love that line. Yeah.
It's his delivery, and the fact that it's like a shot of his mouth while he's saying it. It's just really, it's entertaining. All right, final thoughts on Temple of Doom before we move on.
I think it's good, but not as good as the others, but better than people give it people don't give it enough credit, but it's still not as good as Raiders or Crusade.
Okay, the next film in the Indiana Jones series is, of course, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Nazis. I hate these guys.
Our situation has not improved. In his search for the Holy Grail.
How dare you kiss me?
Are you crazy? Don't go between them!
Go between them, are you crazy?
Where's my father?
In the belly of that steel beast.
Dad! Junior!
You call this archaeology?
The quest for the Grail is not archaeology. It's a race against evil.
Germany has declared war on the Jones boys.
Those people are trying to kill us.
I know, Dad!
It's a new experience for me.
Happens to me all the time. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Have the adventure of your life. Keeping up with the Joneses.
That should have been some of the trailer for Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. This film is the third in the franchise. It takes place after Raiders and Temple of Doom. It's closer to World War II time. More Nazis are back, basically, and better than ever or something. And this time, Indiana Jones is in search of the Holy Grail, not necessarily by choice, but more mainly because his father was apparently tasked with helping to find the Grail and has gone missing. So Indiana Jones is trying to find his father, which leads him on the trail for the Holy Grail. And, of course, lots of Allison Duty-related hijinks ensue. So, Alan, Glass Crusade, where are we coming down on it?
This is my first Indiana Jones movie that I saw. My family wasn't really into Raiders and stuff. No, we really like Star Wars. But I just never. This is the first thing I remember watching because I was really young, and then I saw it in the theater with my brothers and stuff, and I really liked it. So this is my first introduction to everything, and I thought it was really fun. And then I recently rewatched it like a year ago, and I love it. I still really like it. I like the banter between Harrison Ford and Sean Connery, and the fact that the Nazis are back, and I did not see that coming. but I really like it because it kind of came. Because then, upon watching Raiders, I ended up liking Last Crusade more because I kind of liked how much they kind of called back to the first one, because it's essentially just a Mad Libs of the first movie. It is. It's awesome. And then, you know, Harrison Ford sees Hitler, and that's amazing. I'm like, oh, look, they're right there, and he didn't do anything.
Gets an autograph, too.
Indiana Jones is a pussy.
he could have stopped World War II.
Yep, he could have done a lot.
He could have done a lot. But I don't know, I just really, really dug it. I liked a lot of the chase sequences with Senior and Junior, and then Senior's in the sidecar. I thought that was really cool.
Not impressed with his son at all.
He's not. He's like, whatever. when you looks like he throws a punch, it looks like he's like an 80-year-old man. It's just Harrison Ford punches are really funny to me because he looks like a drunk 80-year-old man. Just like kind of pushing everything through and just almost looking like he stumbles.
I love indie punches.
It's just like they're over their life. It's just so funny because he throws it and like he's not committing. It's just funny.
It makes a great sound though. Every Ben Burtt sound.
Meat slappers.
I love
that. Harrison Ford punches in Indiana Jones are like Sylvester Stallone running in Expendables. You know what I mean? But I really liked the third one a lot. One of my favorite sequences was when towards the end or at the climax where Indiana Jones is going through the last kind of trials. And then Sean Connery is kind of spewing out the dialogue and kind of giving a play-by-play. I don't know, like that little interchange right at the end. I really like that. I just thought it was really cool. But that's from the last time I saw it, and I'm just a big fan.
You know, for the longest time, I thought this was the first film of the series when I was really young. So until I was like 10, I thought it went Last Crusade, then Raiders, and then Temple of Doom. So. Yeah, I think it's great now.
That's wacky.
now that I know what order they're in. No, because my dad used to always watch this movie constantly. I was like, oh, this is the first movie. And I assumed that Sean Connery just died. And that's why it didn't happen in the other films. So, once again, I haven't seen this since like 2004 or something like that. But no, it's very thrilling. Is there a big chase at the end? There's not, right? It's just him going through all the mazes, the right? Scene.
Well, before the him going through all the
huge tank
trials, there's a huge tank chase, yeah.
And then before that is them chasing. Then they get chased in Venice.
That's towards the beginning. Yeah.
They ride off into the sunset at the end.
Right. But no, yeah, I like it a lot. It's my second favorite in the series.
Yeah, it's another one I agree with just about everything. Second favorite in the series, like real close to the first one. Very much a Mad Libs, and that's what I really liked about it, actually. It's one of those. That's what I like in a sequel. I just kind of want more of the same.
It's, oh, you must have loved Hangover 2.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and I liked they travel a lot of places, which I thought was really cool. Had a real, like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego kind of vibe going on. And Return of the Nazis was great. So, yeah.
This is actually one of the films that I hadn't seen as much. I remember I was talking to Aaron previously, and I was like, I don't remember anything Sean Connery says in this movie. Not even that memorable, you know, fire scene where they're tied together. But because of that, it's not that it takes away from it, but it's just because I haven't seen it as much that I don't reflect that well upon it. Not to say that it's not a good movie, but yeah. So it's one of those things where I did like it, but seeing it as like a 26-year-old, the old man banter between you know, Indy and or Indy Senior and his buddy Marcus. It's they're so inept, they're so ridiculous that it's almost like a comedy within itself. And I like that about it. But at the same time, I was thinking to myself, man, could they get into any more trouble? So yeah, good for them, I guess. Bucket list, pre-bucket list.
Now, I say this while also saying Last Crusade is a great movie. It's a fantastic film. It's a classic. It does a lot. It's a lot of fun. It's super enjoyable to watch.
I feel like you're about to say something that's going to offend me.
No, but I just have like I have quibbles with it that make Raiders clearly my favorite movie, and like that just seemed the best of the bunch. Like Last Crusade, it plays it very safe. Like it's a very safe movie. Like it doesn't take any chances in the same way that Temple of Doom did. Where
I can't fault Spielberg for wanting to use protection.
it goes back. Yeah, it feels like Mad Lou's Raiders, where it's just, you know, the same movie but slightly different, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But it would have been nice to see some more ambition in a movie like that in this movie. But I guess adding, you know, Sean Connery is not, you know, a bad idea either, and like he's fantastic in it. It also does. The way Sala and Brody are in this movie, they're like way more bumbling than they are in the first movie, and that kind of bothers me, especially with Marcus Brody, who's like he went from being this respected college associate or music, like he owns the museum, I guess, that Indiana Jones like sells all his, you know, the things that he finds to, and now he's like this guy who's just like a goofball. And Indiana Jones has that great monologue where he says, like, the hell you will. He's got a 2-day head start. Yeah. That's more than you need. He knows people from here to Sudan. He speaks a dozen different languages.
He knows all their customs.
He'll disappear. You'll never find him. If any luck, he's got the grail already. And then it just cuts to him. Does anyone know it? Like, it's like a hilarious monologue. But, it seems like it undermines everything that Marcus Brody, like, represents and what he's supposed to be. And it kind of like bugs me. You get to the scene where they're like Henry Jones Senior and Marcus meet in the tank, and he like gives them like their like secret exchange or whatever they have, and it's like, what is this?
And Anonymous plants right down to like right after they say hello.
Yeah. And the same with Sala. He's kind of like he's more like he seems like way more like festive, and like it's nice that Sala's back, but it's like, hey, oh, it's just kind of. It's all over the place. Like, it's certainly the funniest movie, and it seems like it's very much trying to be that movie, as opposed to. It doesn't need to be like a really serious Indiana Jones movie, but it is. It's more lighthearted, and it kind of, to me, it makes it pale a slight bit compared to Raiders, which I just think is perfect.
Yeah, I think that slapstick stuff is. It adds to it because it's Indy's dad, but at the same time, I'm just thinking to myself, you know, yeah, they don't really go on. "Quote unquote, a memorable adventure as the Ark, or you know, freeing a bunch of children. It's kind of
I don't know about that. They find the Holy Grail, eh? Let's not kid ourselves here.
I just didn't find it as engrossing as the other two films.
Well, I think I'll go out on the limb. I think it's my favorite indie film, more so than Raiders. I also didn't see Raiders till I was like 20-something.
That's Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was bad. I was bad.
A slap.
I know.
The slap at Aaron. It's like what Henry Jones Sr. does to his son.
That's for you. Yeah. That's for blasphemy.
I watched it until it came out on DVD. First time I saw Raiders. Because I was putting off. There's certain movies that I won't watch unless I want to watch the first time on a big screen. And I just kind of said, like, I found like a screening of Raiders like a couple weeks before the DVD came out, so I went to that, and that was the first time I saw it. And I liked it a lot, but honestly, I don't know what you guys talked about earlier because I jumped in late, but there's a lot of little things in that movie that I thought was really funny. There's a lot of stuff that builds up and I really like it, but like the fact that he survived the submarine journey through the Mediterranean, I think was kind of weird. I don't know why.
You got in the submarine.
How did he get into the submarine?
Yeah, they kind of allude to the idea that he just held on to the side because he's like soaking wet and he's just there. And they never show him get inside the submarine.
I'd assume that, like, he's not going to hang out inside the submarine while they dock. He probably got out beforehand.
But the cut is really weird.
But the cut is like
awkward. Well, it's just as weird as the cut from the Ark being Mary and the Ark and Indy being alone, then all of a sudden they're in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
I really like Raiders a lot, because I just think it's a really fun movie. But I think because I'm nostalgic towards Last Crusade, I just like it more, and I kind of like the father-son relationships. I'm a sucker for that stuff, and it's the Holy Grail, and there's a hot Nazi chick.
The world's in for everybody. Hotter indie girl. That's up for debate, I would say. I don't know.
Freckles guy?
I like Marion.
Marion more than JJ.
You know what Marion doesn't do? She doesn't kick the grail in the center of the crack in the middle of the room. That's what she doesn't do.
She's a Nazi, and that's the least of my concerns.
She ruins it for everybody. She gets crazy eyes and just like, come on, Indy, we got it! And then she like runs across the room. It's like, Elsa, don't do that. The knight gave us one thing to do. One thing to do.
Yeah.
Not cross the seal. I'm going to cross the seal. Not only does she cross the seal, she drops the grail. And then she kicks the grail into the center of the earth. Like, what's going on, Elsa? Worst Nazi ever.
Well, she got her due justice. But what I liked about that, too, is also there's like a freaking Templar knight is like, he's there. Still guarding the grail after like thousands of years.
Like, seriously, couldn't they have brought him a book or something?
He had a book. He had one book.
he kept reading it.
the Holy Bibli.
Yeah. Well, I rationalized it as, you know, taking the oath of being the protector. They probably took away all desires for food, water, and pleasure and everything else, so he's just there chilling.
He's a Jedi.
Yeah. He's even got the sword.
No strength to use it. I ended up laughing really hard when I watched that again, and he just takes the one swing and falls over. I thought that was hilarious. You're just like, oh man, here it comes. It's going to be some, like, knight of God. And then he's like, oh, I'm done. That's all I got. It waits like 700 years.
Yeah, it's like Homer fighting Gridiron Tatum. I've only got one shot.
Yeah.
I think Last Crusade has the weakest villain of the four, also.
They're Nazis.
Yeah, the museum collector dude?
What's his name? Donovan.
Donovan, yeah.
And he does nothing for me. He's not menacing. He's not like, doesn't seem really smart. He didn't figure anything out. He's just kind of like, yeah, all right, I'm the bad guy.
He's like a schmarmy 80s villain, but in the 40s.
He very is. Yeah, he really is. Like, he's no Belloc. He's not as cool. He's not as like strangely intimidating as crazy bald guy in Temple of Doom, and even Kate Blanchett does, like, she's at least doing something in that movie. Like,
I am terrified of her bangs.
Yeah, there you go.
They're so perfect. They're
communist bangs.
Like, Donovan's just a dick that shot Sean Connery. Like, I don't want to deal with this guy.
But he's a traitor, so you're supposed to hate him more.
But he was also a pop singer in the 60s.
Also why you should hate him more.
Is that true? He was a pop singer in the 60s?
There was a pop singer in the 60s named Donovan.
Oh, okay.
Abe.
Mellow Yellow?
You fool.
Serious.
Beautiful fool.
How about that opening sequence of River Phoenix?
That was cool.
Pretty cool and convenient, yeah.
I didn't know that River Phoenix was in this film. And then I can see why he's afraid of snakes, because that viper that comes out of the water,
and the old snake around the testicles, that probably didn't help either.
Yeah.
And he's grown up so well. I just saw him in The Master the other day.
Shut up.
How did he get that cleft lip? Yeah, I actually like that sequence a lot. Actually, when I was watching it, I was like, wow, that guy dresses a lot like the future Indiana Jones. I was like, oh, I see what
you're doing. That's right.
Light bulb.
Isn't it that it's like not someone more famous that played like that guy?
Like Kyle Chandler in The Remake?
I would easily say that, yeah. But like, what doesn't it seem like there should be like someone like really important like as a cameo in that role, and it's just not. It's just some random white dude.
Willem Dafoe. Yeah, I know what you mean, because he kind of plays a central pivotal role.
He plays a pivotal role in Indiana Jones' life, and it's like just some guy you don't know.
I mean, he gives him the hat, and he also gives him the words of advice at the end. It's like, you know, you didn't win today, but yeah, whatever else.
I'm going to keep up playing Devil's Advocate, by the way.
But you don't have to like it.
It's a really convenient backstory that everything about Indiana Jones is established in about 10 minutes.
But it's fun.
I know it's fun, but it's like he's on the train.
It's a circus train.
He gets his scar. He gets his
hat. With the magic box, and I was like, oh my god, that's cool.
We see his use of all that trademark magic that he's always doing throughout the series.
As far as I'm concerned, he just peaked at that moment, and I think from then on he just tried to recapture it.
And I love how this movie has established, like, a good fat friend.
Oh, Porkins?
came super late to the party.
Hold on, guys, I just spilled honey all over my knees. like blowing the horn, like
straight in his face.
He's a Boy Scout.
Do you think he's related to the fat kid from Paranorman?
I you know, because I just watched Paranorman on Friday, and then I saw it in theaters, Last Crusade yesterday, so I'm like, it does remind me exactly of that kid from Paranorman.
They both have good hearts, I guess.
I guess so.
He looks like Thurman Merman from Bad Santa.
Boom. That's better. It's like Thurman Merman from Bad Santa. Oh, that was good. Okay, the force perspective thing at the very end, that always throws me every time I watch it.
The leap of faith part, yeah.
The leap of faith, like, it's such a weird shot to me, but I guess it makes sense. But every time I see it, I'm like, that's weird, right?
Like, that doesn't work. Like, it would be better if they just said it was an invisible bridge.
Or a rainbow one. Thor would have been proud of that.
He would have been proud of that.
Also, Penitent Man, he has to kneel, and then is he supposed to roll? Because he does roll.
Yeah, yeah.
He does a roll.
Is there a part that says roll after penitence?
I've never seen anyone pray like that. So.
You never see that? That never happened?
Yeah. Oh, Greg, you got to go to church with me.
I do not go to church enough. Crazy Cirque du Soleil church going on.
Oh, you have no way.
You either go to church with Alan or you go to church with like the Boondock Saints.
Mm-hmm. It's the Catholic Soleil. It's nice.
Catholic Soleil. The tank chase in this movie is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's also, it's like 45 minutes long. It feels incredibly long. It's like a huge part of the movie. Not a bad thing.
It felt almost as long as the Bourne Legacy chase at the end of that movie.
Okay. It continues the whole rough and tumble thing that I really like about the first three Indiana Jones movies as a whole, where it's just like, it's down and dirty and with it. You're in the frame with these actors going through like really cool stunts, like, you know, guys hanging off the sides of tanks as it's crashing into a wall. Or, you know, jumping off a horse onto a moving vehicle. It's just really cool and just really well filmed and like coherent action that's awesome to watch repeatedly. It's a really solid scene. And it does, like, of the things that it tries to do better than Raiders, like it does a good job of getting up there with the truck chase for me, of being like a really cool action sequence that applies like a lot of different things. A tank, a horse, cars, Sean Connery.
Chunk on
the it. Things you like in chase sequences.
And it's really goofy too, because like the driver of the tank, he's got those weird glasses and he doesn't really look like a soldier, like an SS soldier. And then the other
he's one of the men from Alexandretta or whatever country they're in. Like,
oh, okay, I see.
Because you had that whole incredibly necessary scene where Donovan has to bribe like the Sultan or whatever.
Sultan,
from
yeah.
Instead, he could have just walked in with the Nazi army and just said, "No, we're doing this."
Like, yeah, there's literally no reason for that scene except for the fact that you have to show that like the secret guy that like is on the side of the Grail is like still following them. So you have like this entire 5-minute scene where Donovan has to bribe the guy with a Rolls Royce instead of the jewels that he brought for him. Just so you can get to that one shot where you have the guy with the fez look over and be like, "Oh, he's on their trail!" Like, that's why that scene's in the movie.
Yeah.
0 to 100 kilometers per hour in 12.6 seconds.
And I already like the color.
But about that too, is like I like the part where Sean Connery blows up the convoy that drives up right next to them, because you can see like dummy bodies flying in the air, and I was like, that's really awesome. That's well done, Spielberg.
And then as the Indy shoots three guys at once scene too, which is
yeah.
And he just stares at the gun like, really?
I got to use more German Lugers apparently. That was pretty awesome.
There's also where he saves his dad with the whip. Who's on the treads.
Yeah.
And he's just getting punched in the kidneys, like, repeatedly.
Yeah, it was really painful. Like he's taking a beating.
Oh, man. Like, just roll off to the side, old man.
But it's
like...
okay, because that Nazi dies a horrible, horrible death. The person that probably dies the worst death in that movie is the one where, like, the Jeep, like, gets launched onto the tank, and then the tank has to blow the Jeep off of it. Because there's a guy presumably sitting in that Jeep. And so,
sure,
like,
guy trying to reach
and they show trying to get out. And then actually it's blowing the Jeep off the sink. That Venice boat chase is pretty cool too. Right?
When they're getting sucked into the propeller.
Yeah.
It's interrogating.
Which is a really cool scene. Like you see the propeller, like it's all one shot. And you see like the actors involved and there's literally a boat propeller chopping up the boat.
Shredding it.
Like it's like that's a really well filmed scene. Like it's actually happening on screen in front of you. It's really cool. I'll say this earlier, I think Last Crusade, between all four movies, I think Last Crusade is like the best transfer, the best new, like, the best remaster of the film. Like, it looks the best. It looked the cleanest. It looked really good throughout, like, all the, even with, like, the various, you know, because it's, like, early
like early CG kind of stuff coming in. Like it looked really good like throughout the movie. Like it felt very consistent. The image was always clean. It was very, it's just a really good looking movie like in general. And they all look really good. But I feel like Last Crusade stood out as like the best looking one to me. Okay, so then yeah, let's talk about Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
This ain't gonna be easy.
Not as easy as it used to be.
Closer.
So that should have been some of the trailer for Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. This movie, of course, takes place well into the 50s.
Magic Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Thank you. This movie takes place, of course, well into the 50s, and we find Indiana Jones much older, but still up to his old antics of getting caught and beat up by people. But he's being forced by the Soviets to kind of locate an alien-type thing, and he does, and then he escapes that, but then he still needs to be in the same search because a young man named Mutt Williams comes looking for him, telling him that one of his old professor friends has gone missing and he needs to look for what he was on the trail of, which appear to be some kind of crystal skull-like things, which makes him and Indy travel to South America in search of these crystal skulls and their missing professor friend. And other familiar characters arrive as well, and monkey swinging hijinks ensue. So, Abe, what did you think about the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
You know, again, I think this is just a buy-in point for me, and at that point I was thinking to myself, yes, I will buy in, and because of that, it's entertaining. It's not what you would consider to be an Indiana Jones movie, I don't think, and because of that, I don't really know if it was really necessary to be made. I don't really remember what the clamor was about them wanting to make a fourth one. It's entertaining to some degree, but it's really not one that I would consider to be part of the franchise, and there are some cool scenes in it. You know, I don't really think of it as one of the Indy Jones movies that I recall as a child.
Greg?
In my last watch through of all the movies, I think I liked it more than Temple of Doom, but it gets pretty rough at the end there, and it's really rough at the end. Forgot how bad it really got at the end. Like, it's bad at the end. Like, bad. Anyway. And, I mean, I don't like Shia as a person, so that makes it a little tough. It tries to be an Indiana Jones movie, but you can tell it's trying. You know, it's like, oh, this was in the other movies. We got to show it, like, in some way, like the way they do shadows and things like that. Just seemed a little forced. It wasn't just like, it wasn't because Indy would have done it. It was because an indie movie would have done it. But, yeah, like, Abe, I mean, it was enjoyable, and if you can get past the refrigerator, then it's good until the end, which is bad. It's just bad.
Alan.
Oh, I've never seen it. I'm joking. It was whatever. I didn't expect a lot from it. The fact that it took forever to be made, and the fact that I didn't have any faith in Lucas after the prequels, I know it's gonna be bad. It wasn't what I liked. Like, I have nothing against Shia, actually. It makes sense, some of the things they did. I kind of get it. And the refrigerator thing was kind of lame. The prairie dog thing, I think, was kind of lame in the beginning.
They play the rule of three with it, too. So they make sure that we get all we need out of the prairie dogs in that movie.
Yeah. And I feel that's still like, Indiana Jones. I didn't like the cold opening.
Really?
I just didn't. Because the thing with Raiders that I really liked, what's that?
The speed racing stuff?
No, you just mean like the entire cold open, like everything. Yeah.
Racing the army?
Yeah, I just trucks? like every cold opening, you always set up Indy to be really strong and kind of cool, and he has a cool way of entering a building. With this one, it was more, he's in the back of a truck with some dude, and it just made it seem weak, and I didn't necessarily like it. Like, even in Raiders, the reason you like Indiana Jones so much is because he's failing in everything, but he's still doing it as hard as he can. And he's always like, you root for him so much towards the end of the film that because he's consistently failed at things. Like he got the thing stolen from Belloc in the beginning. Then he managed to get Marion stolen. Then like they found the Ark, but then the Ark was taken from them. But towards the end, you're just rooting for him because you want to see the guy win. And in Indiana Jones and the Magic Kingdom, it just wasn't just like he came out and then he was double crossed again. And I just don't think Indy would have, I don't think Indy would have put himself through all that even 20 years later. So I just think they made him look really weak. And I just kind of was like, oh, it's going to be one of, okay, fine. It's essentially they did a remake of it with the original cast and crew, and it just wasn't working for me. You know what I mean?
Jordan?
I don't mind it at all. It has more in common with the Mummy movies than it does with Indiana Jones. And by that I mean, you know, it's fun. I feel it's a fun movie, but unlike the other three Indiana Jones films, like there's no sense of danger.
Yes.
It is like a big attraction ride. Like, yeah, it's a lot of fun, but you know, you're gonna make it out alive. It's not really like transcendent like the other films were. And you know, the CGI is kind of shady here and there, and Shia, not the biggest fan, but yeah, I still enjoy it. I love John Hurt in it, and it's always fun to see Ray Winston in a film, and even Jim Broadbent does a lot with his few seconds of screen time. But yeah, no, I really have no problem with it. It's fun. It's fine by my standards.
All right. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. This movie, I remember the lead up to this movie, or like the lead up to like making this movie, and they kept saying, we're going to do it. And I was like, I don't care. Just don't do it. And then it eventually happened. So like, I didn't like have huge expectations. I wasn't like thinking like, oh man, I'm going to be super excited about this. At the same time, I wasn't thinking, oh man, I'm going to hate this movie no matter what. I was just like, all right, it exists. Let's do this. Let's at least try to have some fun. And I walked out of it thinking it does that okay. It doesn't do that very well. I'll start with, it opens well. I really like the opening. I like everything up to the fridge a lot. Like, I like the fridge makes sense to me. That's just Indiana Jones. Like, this is the same series that has, you know, him surviving boulders chasing him and falling out of airplanes using a life raft. I don't mind the idea of Indiana Jones surviving a nuclear explosion with a refrigerator. It says lead line, guys. I mean, it said lead line on it, right?
So yeah, and that's where the buy-in is.
There you go.
I bought it.
But, so, you get to that, and even like, and I like, I don't mind. I like Shia. Like, I mean, regardless of like him in real life now, like, and in 2008, Shia LaBeouf was like on top of the world. He'd had this and Transformers come out in like within the same month, like within 2 months of each other. Like, good for him. He's doing his franchise thing. And it makes sense for a movie like this where Indiana Jones is old now. You're incorporating, you know, you need a sidekick character, and he's like a hot commodity at the time. Like, that makes sense to me. It makes a lot of this movie makes sense to me in terms of what they wanted to do. The execution I have problems with, but I had no problem with the idea of putting in Shia LaBeouf as his, you know, his son. That made sense to me. Now, I like the early stuff with him. I like the motorcycle chase scene. I think that's the best action in the movie, actually, that whole chase sequence, because it's fun and you see the actors involved in it and it looks good. Where the movie goes downhill is there's a lot of like plot complication that doesn't need to, like, it seems like this plot's really confusing in this movie, and I don't know why. Like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff going on with the John Hurt character that I just don't understand. Like, every time I watch it, and I've watched it a whole 3 times now because I can't seem to watch it often because I get really bored by it. But there's so much like indie exposition going on in South America while he's like just talking to Shia LaBeouf about like elongated skulls and the ox must have been here and he found this. And I just like, I'm never like into the story enough because it honestly isn't that much fun to me. Like, it's not, it doesn't have a good sense of pace like the other three do. Like, the other three flew by to me. This one feels like a chore to watch after I get past, like, the, basically after they travel by map the first time. I'm just kind of like, okay, now I'm in South America, and they travel by map. So that's how he rolls in the series. He travels by map.
It's the best way to travel.
Yeah, it is.
According to the Muppets.
And so I just get bored watching it, and then it gets to, I'm supposed to like think that the giant jungle chase scene's like the highlight of the movie, but honestly, I don't. I don't like that scene very much at all. It's way too clean. It's way too CG. It doesn't feel real at all. It just feels like there are a bunch of people on green screens and they just did all this stuff in there. It doesn't have that rough and tumble thing that I've been mentioning throughout the other ones. It doesn't feel like Indiana Jones is involved in the danger. And that becomes a prejudice for me. I think Janusz Kamiński, who's taken over as cinematographer from Douglas Sockholm, he failed. He failed for me. And that's my real biggest issue with this movie. It doesn't look very good. It looks way too clean.
Yeah.
And
I agree with that.
Producer Frank Marshall was all like, oh, we're making it old school, just like we made the first indie movies. And he is a liar. He lied to me. That's where I come down with this movie, because Frank Marshall's a liar. He said that Indiana Jones, the Crystal Skull, was going to look great just like the other three did, and it doesn't. It looks like this weird CGI fest that George Lucas is like, hey, who needs miniatures? We can do this, guys. And, like, that happened, and now it just looks like a really bland movie that comes out of the Mummy universe, like the spinoff Mummy. It comes after Scorpion King. Like, this doesn't look like a good movie.
I think that Greg said it best, which is, like, they're doing a lot of indie stuff that he would do.
Yeah, they're trying to make, like, an indie movie, but it wasn't fueled by, like, the character.
It didn't fuel the natural indie progression. It was just like, oh, yeah, we'll just throw in a bunch of stuff that indie used to do, and so you guys can like it. And, you know, box office-wise, it pretty much smashed a lot of the box office stuff, but it just wasn't really that, indie. And I'm not huge on Shy either, so I think that kind of added to it. And also the fact that Indiana Jones would settle down and get married, I was not down with that at all.
What is Shy bad in this movie? What is Shy do that's bad in this movie, though?
Overall, I just don't. I'm not really huge on Shy in general.
He throws a snake as a rope. Who throws a snake as a rope?
Well, like in 2008, when you first see this movie, do you have something against Shy?
His stupid face.
I don't remember what it was. It's just that
it,
like,
he hadn't done anything. Like, the only thing he did was basically good movies. He did Holes, right? Like,
even Steven.
I feel like he was coming off a wave of good things at the time in 2008.
He did like Disturbia, which was a pretty decent hit.
I'm the one person that hates Disturbia.
I've never seen it, but people didn't like it.
You don't need to watch it. I don't know. I don't need to talk about Shy. I could talk more about how much I don't care for John Hurt and Ray Winstone, even though Jordan loves him.
I really want to hear this Ray Winstone thing.
Ray Winstone makes no sense in this movie. There is no reason for his character to exist in this movie. All it does is drag the movie down with his boring, am I a double agent, Indy? Jonesy? What am I doing here? Like, go away. Go away, Ray Winstone. Tighten up the pace of this movie. Get rid of this boring Ray Winstone plot. Let's just see more of, like, of evil Cate Blanchett, like, badassing it with her freaking rapier and evil bangs that terrify Alan to no extent. Like,
I don't like bangs to begin with, but those are communist bangs.
This warehouse is where you and your government have hidden all of your secrets, yes?
This is a military warehouse. I've never been here before in my life.
Object we seek. Rectangular storage container. Dimensions 2 meters by 1.5 meter by 66 centimeters. Contents of box. Mummified remains. This is no doubt familiar to you.
What makes you think I've got any idea what box you're talking about?
Because 10 years ago, you were part of the team that examined it.
Look, even if I knew what you were talking about,
you will help us find it.
Communist bangs, that's a band name that I created.
Or the Red Menace.
That's one of their songs. the other's Potato Vodka. John Hurt waving around his magic stick and acting like a fool.
He can wave around his magic stick all day long. It's fine.
And then Karen Allen comes back in, and regardless of how many adorable freckles she still has, where the movie like stops for me dead, where the movie just drops off, where I'm like, I don't care anymore, is when she drives off that cliff and they like just ram into the tree. I'm done. I'm done with the movie at that point. Like if I were I to watch Crystal Skull again, I would like that's where I'd stop the movie. It just
like they died. Movie over.
They died.
The end.
I mean, she drives off a cliff, and then they like have to go down the waterfall 3 times. It's like, oh, I don't.
Each one larger than the last.
Exactly. And yeah, there's no like Alan, you were saying like there's no sense of danger in this movie. Like it just there's nothing that makes
me... I didn't say that.
Who said there's no sense of danger?
Oh, I did.
Yeah, there's no sense of danger in this movie. Like, if characters are purposely going off of waterfalls, I feel like I should probably feel for them or, like, be engaged in this, and I'm not. I don't care about these things at all. It just feels like, oh, okay, that was a really weird decision to go with, but there you go, I guess.
Yeah, all the action in this movie just got a little too big. Like, I mean, like you said, the motorcycle scene is the best action because it's still kind of tight and it's slow and it's tight corners and you see them.
And it's fun. Like, yeah. It's, and you have that old, like, they slide in the library and, like,
yeah.
Stupid casually ask them a question. It's like fun and really pulpy and stuff. And it feels like the tone just feels right in that area. And then it just kind of goes off from there.
Well, I mean, the exchange leading up to that, you know, scene with the agents is really fun too, where they're sitting at the bar, Shy, you know, grabs the beer, you know, puts it back on. And then the greasers versus, like, the preps.
I love how that fight breaks out.
It takes advantage of the 50 setting, which is the same thing that the whole nuclear stuff does, too. Like, I like that stuff where it's dealing with the time period that we're set in, as opposed to the rest of the movie, where it just kind of goes back to being, like, bland adventure movie.
I mean, I don't feel it's that bland, but...
There's so many Indiana Jones lectures in this movie in South America, like, where we just stop and have Indy talk about another tribe or something that's just boring. I just don't care about this plot at all.
See, like, I kind of like that because it has, like, Indy being a detective.
It does.
But you're right, it was just way too much.
And I agree.
Like, it didn't make sense.
Yeah, it has that stuff, and that stuff that I would have looked forward to in a movie that had it. I mean,
where he's telling us something interesting.
He's telling us something interesting, yeah, and it's just not interesting. It just feels like an old man lecturing you, and it doesn't have that same feel as something like Raiders, or it feels like it's being hampered by the fact that it has come 12 or whatever, well, how many years? 2008. 1989.
I'm helping you with math.
I like completely stopped dead because I couldn't do the math just then. But it comes such a length after the preceding movies that it's like it feel like if this movie came out in the 90s as opposed to 2008, maybe there would have it would have felt like better. But it doesn't feel like it naturally ascends into this new territory for Indy. It just feels like we're being launched back into this area, but it's not as much fun as it used to be.
The one thing I really liked in this movie, though, so like I was saying, how they do a lot of things just to make it be an Indiana Jones movie, but I was like how they do the silhouettes on walls and do the shadows. And there's a scene where he's getting interviewed, or he's locked up and he's going to get interrogated in that tent, and they make him look at the skull, and it's him, and it's like casting his big silhouette shadow on the
I know what you're like,
right at you, yeah. And then he's talking inside his own silhouette, and I thought that looked really cool. I don't know, I thought that was a neat little nod to the silhouettes that have been in all the indie movies.
Okay, did you guys really like, I know everybody like hates it when Shia is swinging on the branches.
Oh, I do. It's not the
reason. Monkeys attack.
I mean, it's not the reason I have issues with the movie in general, but I mean, it doesn't help. It's one of those things that doesn't last very long, where it's not enough where, like, it makes me automatically dislike the movie. I don't point to that and be like, this is why this movie is terrible. I feel I have more issues with the pacing and the plot complications than, you know, one scene involving monkeys.
It's my favorite scene in the movie.
I wasn't liking that chase scene as a whole, so that just, like, didn't help.
I know, for me it's just kind of weird, because it's one of the examples where they have Shia doing a bunch of action. When in an Indiana Jones movie, I want to see Indy doing the action. You know, like Shia is the one doing the sword fight, swinging through the trees.
I think was ridiculous.
Yeah,
like, sword fight. Classes. Oh, well, that's going to happen later. So yeah.
Interdimensional beings, huh?
That made sense.
Yeah, I didn't mind that there were aliens involved. I mean, I think George Lucas always wanted to do something with aliens, and he finally got his chance.
Alan, they weren't aliens. They were interdimensional beings.
They made it quite clear. They said it several times.
John Hurt literally corrects him. He says, actually, they're interdimensional beings.
That's when he stopped.
Also, and then after that, John Hurt was also like, also at the bottom of that bridge, they're alligators. Watch out.
Oh, yeah.
They're alligators down there.
See, I feel like it should have been like, yeah, they could have been aliens, but they should have left that kind of open. Like, it was gods, and maybe the gods were aliens. But like halfway through this movie, they tell you, they just say, it's aliens.
Saucerman from Mars.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me ask you something. If it would have been released like this past summer, do you think it would have been, I guess, more well received than it was 5 years ago?
If you're saying if it came out now as opposed to then?
I don't think so.
I think it'd probably get the same reaction. I think if it came out 5 years earlier, it might have got a better reaction.
No, yeah. I feel like if it came out now, I probably wouldn't have seen it. But I saw Crystal Skull when it came out. There would have been less people who were into indie movies that would have still been interested. And then there would have been less backlash.
I'll say this. Like, if they do Indy 5, I'll see it. Like, I'm not going to not see an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, I'll probably go at midnight and be all gung-ho.
Yeah, I'll be all...
Honestly, with Indiana 5, I'd probably be more excited than I was for Indiana 4.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But if they do 5, is Harrison Ford going to be in it?
No, just going to be Shia LaBeouf, like we all want.
Like everyone's clamoring for.
More
all
Beast.
The tweets.
Well, no, because Beast never doing like mainstream movies again, so you know you don't have to worry about it. He's only having sex in other movies now.
Lars von Trier movie.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, just nothing but, yeah, he's just going full dong in movies.
And according to Shia LaBeouf, Spielberg doesn't talk to him anymore. Yeah, which I find funny.
He stopped returning his calls.
Yeah.
Spiels, let's go. Let's go to the bar.
Pretty much what he said in an interview.
He said that in an interview? Oh, wow.
Yeah, he said that Spielberg.
They used to hit the bars together, and now they're not doing that anymore.
Oh, man. Well, man, that's a big connection lost.
He still hangs out with Lucas, though.
All right.
Okay, so moving on. I think we've reached the end of all of these movies, so just to kind of wrap up this series as a whole, what are your favorite moments? Like, what is, like, some, like, three favorite moments from each of you that of just the Indiana Jones series as a whole that you like think of?
The boulder, of course.
As for the cliche as it is, the time he shoots that swordsman in the market.
Damn straight, yeah.
I thought that part was really cool. I actually really like the minecart chase from Temple of Doom.
Oh, now yeah. We want to talk about the minecart chase, huh?
I just said I like it. It's like it just seems like I can't really say more about it. And then I liked the whole last sequence with the Templar Knight in Last Crusade. Wow, I picked one from each. Look at that. Because there's only three. Bought it. Yep.
So I'm going to go with the tearing out of the guy's heart. My probably favorite scene is the fist fight with the giant German dude on the airfield.
Let's talk about that for a second. Indy's
my favorite thing.
Indy's a dirty fighter. Indy, yeah. Like, oh, no bones about it. He was
overmatched. The guy's like,
he could not have won. Like, he's a terrible fighter. Like, he's throwing dirt in people's eyes. He's making people look the other way so he can knock them when they're not looking. Like, he wants to get the job done. Like, that's something I like about Indiana Jones.
He's scrappy,
exactly. And even, like, the beginning of Raiders, when, like, when Dr. Octopus doesn't give him the whip, he's not going to just sit there and be like, what do I do now? He just jumps. He's like, fuck this, I'm jumping. He jumps over the damn ravine. It's like, yeah, all right. Get out of this situation. Like, he's a scrappy guy.
And I guess I have a third. How about, I don't know. Going to have to think about that one.
Yeah, I'm running into a wall with third, too. But the first would be what I previously mentioned when in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they're all just digging, sun is setting, Indy has a silhouette shot. Profile shot.
That's mine as well. That's one of mine.
Yeah, and then there is the second one is when Indy gives Short Round his hat back, and then he taps him on the head, and then he gets down on his knee, and they just hug it out. I was like, oh, I always remember that one because it's a tender moment. But yeah, I'm running into a wall with the third.
Yeah, the night at the end of number three when he's swinging with the monkeys in number four. Pretty much all the great CG in number four.
The interdimensional beings.
She gets turned to dust.
Yeah. Indiana, Sean Connery saying that's just a good scene. Let it go.
Junior, give me your other hand. I can't hold on.
I can almost reach it, Dad.
Indiana? Indiana? Let it go.
And yeah, the silhouette and Raiders. And then Indy under the truck. That scene is awesome to me. I mean, that's just
pure
pulpy awesomeness where he's been thrown in front of a truck and he's like, well, the only solution I have is to climb under the truck while it's driving at high speeds. That's awesome. I love it.
I'm going to go with my third being when the plane finally flies away at the beginning of Raiders. Got the John Williams score flying off over the nice vista, tipping its wings. It's good. I like, good way to start the movie.
Yeah, just the theme overall.
Yeah.
Another
Williams,
favorite.
Killing it. And, like, what he does, like, he has great, there's great distinctive, like, qualities to each movie, too. Like, he has great, like, there's a very distinctive theme for Raiders and for, like, for the arc. There's a, like, a certain kind of feel for them. There's a theme for the Temple of Doom, and there's a theme for Last Crusade. They all, he managed to, like, not only incorporate, obviously, the theme throughout them, but he made each film kind of sound different, which is, it works. It's awesome.
Well, anything goes.
Thank you, Abe. Anything goes. You went with it. All right. Okay, so before we finally jump off here, I think, Abe, I think we have some time.
I think that we do have some time for a new special game.
I like that jingle.
It was a good
one. Very professional.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a good one.
It was,
can I buy that on iTunes?
You can buy that on iTunes. It's actually called Mutt Williams Theme. It's a...
Oh, yeah, it's on the soundtrack.
I thought you were
yeah.
It's on the soundtrack. No, yeah, you don't remember that part of Crystal Skull where they play Mutt Williams? It's when he rides up, like, it's like the Wild One with Marlon Brando, and he's in that xylophone music plays. It's intense. So I have an Indiana Jones quiz for you guys. Looks to be...
Jim Broadbent.
Yep, Jim Broadbent. That's the first answer. So now, with the only 14 questions left... all right, so I have a series of questions that I'm going to read that I found. I'll provide the link to this. I don't know why, because you're just going to hear all the questions. So, yeah, you guys just, you know, whoever knows the answer, just chime in immediately. Most of these are multiple choice, so let's just go. Who was originally cast to play Indiana Jones? Tom Selleck. Jordan nailed it. Which indie installment was nominated for Best Picture?
Raiders,
correct.
Crystal Skull.
Thank you. In Temple of Doom, Kate Capshaw's Willie has to eat which exotic dish? And it's multiple choice, but you could probably name one. Probably get it.
Snake Surprise.
Not Snake Surprise. It just you can go Chilled Monkey Brains. We all know Chilled Monkey Brains.
Chilled Monkey Brains.
Okay.
Chilled Monkey Brains.
Which were actually a combination of whipped cream, food coloring, and Jell-O.
I knew it looked like Jell-O.
That's what brains look like.
Which film is credited for leading to the creation of the PG-13 MPAA rating?
Temple of Doom.
Who played young Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade?
River Phoenix.
These next ones are timed, so I'm just saying. These have 30-second limits on them.
Jesus, this is Jeopardy?
Yeah, this is a multiple choice, and I have to read fast. Which of these famous indie quotes was ad-libbed by Harrison Ford? I'm like a bad penny, I always turned up. Snakes, why did it have to be snakes? I'm allowing you to tag along, so why don't you give your mouth a rest? Okay, doll. It's not the years, honey. It's
that
the
one.
Mileage.
That one.
Or Nazis. I hate
that
these
one.
Guys. Which one?
The automobile. That one.
It's not the years, it's the mileage?
Yes.
You are correct. Okay. What is Indiana Jones' real name? Henry Scott Jones Jr., Henry William Jones III, Harry Walton Jones Jr., or Henry Walton Jones Jr.? I just said that twice. One's PhD, one's MD.
PhD.
Henry Walton Jones Jr. PhD.
Is that the only PhD one?
Yeah. No, there's two. Yes. One's Henry Williams Jones Jr.
I'll go with Williams.
William or Walton?
Harrison Ford.
Williams. We'll go with Williams.
The answer is Henry Walton Jones Jr.
Woo-hoo! PhD. That's a stupid name.
I'm gonna call him HW.
HW. Okay. In Temple of Doom, which of these characters is named after a dog? Indiana, Short Round,
Indiana.
Willie, or all of the above?
Indiana?
All of the above.
All of the above.
What?
Don't jump the gun. In Temple of Doom, every character, George Lucas, yeah, Indiana's named after the dog. Short Round is named after screenwriter William Hyatt's dog, and Willie is named after Steven Spielberg's dog. Boom.
It's always all of the above if they give you that option.
That's why, yeah.
It's not true.
Here you go. Next one.
It's not true. It's absolutely true.
Which of these Star Wars references was not in an Indiana Jones movie? Princess Leia's gold bikini, Han Solo's vest, R2-D2's head, the Stormtrooper theme music, or Club Obi-Wan?
Club Obi-Wan.
Okay.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Jordan.
Where was the Holy Grail scene in The Last Crusade filmed?
New Mexico.
Alexandretta, Turkey, Tikrit, Iraq, Petra, Jordan, or Jerusalem, Israel?
Wow, that wasn't even one of them.
First one, Turkey?
Jerusalem?
It is Jordan, Petra.
I should have got that.
I've been there. Okay. These are fill in the blank. Oh, man. You guys might have a try. Okay. How did we even get this? This is why I don't do games like this often. Which London hat shop supplied Indiana Jones' original fedora for Raiders?
Oh, balls.
Do you actually know this answer?
I did, like, a week ago. I read it.
Herbert Johnson.
No, I didn't.
At Seville Row Boutique. Okay. Though Sean Connery played Indy's father, their age difference is actually...
6.
Alan says 6.
I want to say 12.
11.
I'll go $1.
Abe, you said 12, right?
Yeah.
You are correct.
Nailed that was it. Close though.
Nailed it. Other than Harrison Ford, who is the only actor to appear in the first three movies?
Brody?
Brody's not in the second.
Brody's not in the second.
Ah, balls, that's right. Nazis.
Kind of. Pat Roach. Pat Roach is the stuntman who played the... He plays kind of the big heavy in all the movies, in all three movies. He plays, like, the guy that he fights in Raiders of the Lost Ark outside the plane. He plays the big guy that gets crushed in Temple of Doom. And he's one of the big Nazis in Last Crusade, also.
That shouldn't count.
That shouldn't count? What
it
happened?
Yeah, I thought it was a character.
It was just a stuntman.
Well,
yeah. It's not a reoccurring character.
I said the only actor that appeared in the first three movies.
Never say just a stuntman.
These guys
can kick my ass.
Pat Roach apparently died in 2004 before he was able to, so he wasn't able to be in the fourth movie. Now we need a full name. Who is the mother of Mutt Williams, Indy's new sidekick?
Marion Blank Ravenwood something.
Jones now.
Yeah.
You need to add all that other stuff. It is Marion Ravenwood. The answer for that question.
Oh, no middle name needed. No. Like I don't remember her middle name.
Okay, here we go. Last one. Might be tough. What number was stamped on the crate used to house the Ark of the Covenant?
9906753.
1138.
What'd you say, Greg?
9906753.
Why do you know?
Doesn't everyone commit that to memory?
Why do you know that?
It's because it's a neat number to know.
9906753. That is correct. According to this quiz, we are worthy of sidekick status.
So I have a short round.
And we'll just say Greg won because he got that last answer right.
Go Greg.
It's just a number taking up space in my brain.
There you go.
Now you guys know my password to everything.
Exactly. Done. So I think that's going to do it this week for Out There in an A. Now that we've gone over every Indiana Jones movie and played a unnecessary game. So you can find more of my work on my personal blog, thecodeofzeke.com, where you can find all my written movie reviews. As well as at ysablu.com for Blu-ray reviews. We're going to have a review of the Indiana Jones Blu-ray coming out this week, probably the day of this podcast. So
are all of you buying it?
Oh, yeah.
I am.
Yeah. Getting that.
I'm getting up on it.
And Halloween 2 and 3 on Blu-ray special edition?
Nope, not doing that. You can also find me on Twitter, twitter.com/AaronsPS3. Abe?
You find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose. And a very special shout out to my friend Adrian Druzgowski.
Alan.
WordPress.VHSDiaries. I write it. And I think by the time this comes out, I'm actually doing one on Raiders. This is my next.
All right. But Alan, you just posted one recently too, didn't you?
I did. It's crazy. I did it on Aladdin.
Cool. And that's VHSDiaries.WordPress.com?
Yeah. And then you can find me on Twitter. I'm Mr. DVD, MRDVD.
Jordan.
Damn Dirty Blog. blogspot.com.
Great. And you can find Greg, of course, hanging out outside of random warehouses, nailing numbers down to boxes.
Oh, yeah.
That is my job.
Yep.
He works for the Secret Service.
Exactly. And, of course, you can find all the other episodes, the regular episodes, of Out Now with Aaron and Abe at iTunes, also at hhwlod.com. That is the podcast network that hosts our show, as well as other shows that are really cool to listen to, including the Walking Dead TV podcast and Legion of Dudes. They just talk about comics and games and stuff, and it's a bunch of cool guys that we like being a part of. Also, outnow.podomatic.com, most of the newest episodes and some exclusives. outnowpodcast@gmail.com, email us in. What are your favorite indie movies? What are your favorite indie moments? What are your favorite indie likes and dislikes? I don't know what else to say in that regard. Email in, though. We'd love to hear some feedback on Indiana Jones in general. And, of course, follow our Facebook page and Twitter page, facebook.com/outnowpodcast and twitter.com/outnow_podcast. We have all our updates and what have you. All that stuff available, always fun to interact with the listeners of the show and whatever. So I think that does. Next week, we're going to talk about Dread 3D. That's the plan, right, Abe?
Yes, absolutely.
You know it. I think actually by the time this podcast comes out, we'll also have released our Judge Dredd commentary, which Jordan, you were brave enough to participate with us on.
It was amazing.
It's a movie, all right.
Oh, it's great.
So, yeah. Thanks, guys, for coming on tonight. It's quite late, so thanks for sticking around.
Thank you. And, it was awesome.
Yeah, great, yeah. And until next time, I guess, so long.
And goodbye.
Farewell.
The guy goes in with the thing that he's chained onto, but they manage to get that thing back out in one piece, so that's good for them, right? They get to reuse that whole elaborate setup they have for dunking guys into lava pits.
Probably adamantium.
Probably, there you go, probably adamantium. That's why it is.